Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time. Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Times, the host of Sign Guys Wrestling Show. He is the Marty Jannetty to my Al Leaf Cassidy Snow. So head, and welcome to the show, the genius known only as Sign Guy. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
Not doing too badly, thanks to Bruzy's black tea that he sent me. That black tea, simple as it is delightful, all the way from Wales.
Now, Wales, this is a place, it's not just a creature?
Yes, we confirmed that on a previous episode.
And what kind of place is this?
Kind of a dark, foreboding place with really good tea.
I see. Excellent. Well, what's the scuttlebutt around the water cooler, Sign Guy? What's been going on?
Well, scuttlebutt around the water cooler is a bunch of people are heading to Dallas this week. A lot of people I know making their way to Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, eh? What's happening down there this weekend?
Horse riding, I would imagine.
I've heard there's steers and certain other things that come from Texas.
True, there's also the Von Erichs.
Absolutely. I believe WrestleMania is this week. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I believe our guest can confirm that for us.
Well, why don't you go ahead? Let's get our guest in here. What's the deal? Tell us about him.
Well, he happens to be from Pro Wrestling Illustrated. He authors the great independent roundup section of that magazine. Mike, your first time on Total Dudes, welcome to our arduous journey of a nightmare.
Thanks very much for having me, guys. It's a huge first for me, especially to be affiliated with an operation that has a theme song of the caliber that you have here on Total Dudes. I'm guessing that you guys spent most of your budget up front to get particular track cut. Is that right?
I don't want to admit it, but I spent upwards of probably, honestly, 5 hours working on that.
I believe it, to tell you the truth. Being somebody who has done stuff like that at home for years, sometimes just for the fun of it, and sometimes actually put it on the internet or whatever, I know that that stuff takes time. So I'm kind of ribbing you guys, but at the same time saying, hey, I appreciate the effort and the craftsmanship that went into that.
Well, we are much obliged, sir, and it is a delight to have you with us. Why don't you just give us a little story about yourself. Tell us a little bit. Fill us in on you.
Okay. So my name is Mike Bessler. I've been with Pro Wrestling Illustrated for, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 5 years. Cover a few different things each issue. As Sign Guy mentioned up front, I write the Independent Roundup column, and I also do something called Before the Bell, which is typically the first column in each magazine. Includes like a book or DVD review, some more comedic segments, profiles of up-and-coming wrestlers and things like that. And then from time to time I do feature pieces as well. And if you guys don't mind, I'll plug the current issue, which is now on sale at pwi-online.com. You can purchase the magazine either in digital format or have the hard copy sent to you. And the new issue features AJ Styles on the front, which is his first ever cover story since signing with WWE. Of course, he was on the cover years ago when he was number one on the PWI 500, but he was with TNA at the time. And I've got a whole bunch of stuff in there. I'm best versed to talk about my stuff, but if I could, I'll recommend there's a feature piece I wrote on Roderick Strong, who's made some of the best pieces of his reputation through his work in Ring of Honor. And he got real personal with me. He doesn't do a lot of interviews. He got real personal with me for this interview, talked about some things that he's never talked about before. So that's something to really check out if you get the chance. And we're looking ahead to WrestleMania now. I'm actually drawing some stuff together for the next issue and getting ready to watch the big show this weekend. But I write for some other places too. BreakingWrestlingNews.com is a relatively new site that I started with a couple other writers. I also do some writing for a site called Inquisitor.com. So, yeah, I spend a lot of time writing things.
Now, does your hand ever get tired?
I'm assuming you're talking about writing. So I will say that from time, that's such a loaded question. From time to time, you know, you get the beginnings of what they call these days repetitive stress from using a mouse or a trackball and keyboard and all that stuff. So yeah, but I figure I've got it no worse than a factory worker in a sweatshop or something like that, or somebody working in a slaughterhouse. In fact, I probably got it pretty well. Ever since I have been just doing mostly freelance writing during the day, I think I've gained about 20 or 30 pounds. So I can't complain, even if my hand does hurt a little bit.
Now, you're referencing that you regularly use, you know, computers to type up your stuff. How do you feel about, let's say, a bearded, gross, hairy little man using a composition notebook to keep notes on everything instead of, saying, using, like, I don't know, anything else? How do you feel about that?
Is the gross bearded man, like, an integral part of that question? I feel like I have to answer in that context.
Yes.
I still use a spiral notebook and pen every so often, so I wouldn't have any business looking down my nose at somebody who does the same thing.
All right, there you go, Sign Guy. You're all right, I guess.
Like every other normal human being.
So, we often ask a question of our guests to the show, and I think I'm betting Sign Guy's just just, you know, anxious to get into this question. So, Sign Guy, why don't you just do it? Ask this question.
All right. Whom is this show Total Divas for?
Wow, that is something that I've wondered about a lot. And I will tell you this, if I could, and this is going to be a bit of a tangent, but I think, first of all, I'll lead by saying that when I got the message from Sign Guy and he was mentioning we'll go through our top, you know, our disliked and most liked characters from the episode, I assumed, because I get asked on podcasts from time to time, I assumed we were talking about Monday Night Raw. And then as we were getting ready to go on the air, I looked at him like, oh, crap, we're talking about a show that I don't watch very often. But so, I mean, while there's a bit of a learning curve here that I'm sure you guys will work with me on, I will say this. I used to work for one of the bigger wrestling websites and no longer do that anymore for lots of good reasons. And one of my responsibilities on there was – I'm almost embarrassed to even say this. I used to have to do the live coverage of Total Divas, like a watching party, and I would have to summarize these episodes as they went. And as somebody who I want to say maybe it was the second season, I can't remember. I had never watched it before, and I was just I was compelled to watch it. I almost contemplated watching it after I didn't do that gig anymore because it just seemed so odd to me in so many respects. And what I would do, and I think if you look really hard, you could probably find some of the things I used to write. I would end up writing things almost kind of in a satirical or spoofy voice, like, hey, obviously nobody out there is going to take this really seriously, so I'm going to make fun of it. And that upset a lot of people. There were people writing the site and complaining and saying, you're ruining the show for me because you're making fun of it. And in the comments section, because there's a lot of pretty heavy traffic on there, people would argue. Some people would be like, well, you know, the way Mike writes this is the only reason I'm actually reading this right now. And then other people would say, no, this is terrible. You're making a mockery of it. And I was always kind of the opinion, like, how am I supposed to cover this? Like, do people really take this seriously? So I think the answer to that question is there is a demographic out there, but I can't figure out what it is. I will say this, like the people who were the most upset about me making fun of the show seem to be guys in their like late teens, early 20s. Guys with screen names like Pale Princess for Life. That's not you, is it, Song Guy?
No, I am not Pale Princess for Life.
So I didn't get it then, and I don't get it now. But I get, maybe it's not for me to get.
We've asked this to many people now, and just as an example, my friend Cody, he asserted it was for the 13-year-old morbidly obese boy that had just spent 3 hours standing outside staring at a dead dog. That was his opinion of it.
Isn't that like marketing cigarettes to children, though? I mean, that seems like such a horrible thing to do. Like, to put that front. Because if you think about some of the topics that they cover on there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In good conscience, if people are actually, like, marketing this towards adolescent males, I mean, they know what they're doing at some level. And you would think that somebody would go, nah, this probably isn't the way we should be doing this. Let's make an animated feature that's for the network instead, or something like that.
Yes. Well, I think we've kind of decided amongst ourselves. It's honestly more for, it seems like, the 30 to 40-year-old woman. Because if you go to their Facebook page, you go to any of their social media, that's who is interacting on there. Essentially the same audience that's watching stuff like Keeping Up with the Kardashians and all that. You don't find a lot of the fellas you were talking about on their own social media. You might find them elsewhere. But
I wish that I was dealing with women in that regard. And it was very strange that the guys were such, you know, like standard bearers for this show, that they took it so personally. You know, I will say that as I leave the room to get away from my own children so they don't hear me repeating this, the one episode that really, really upset people was me making jokes about, I want to say it had something to do with Bree finding vegan condoms or something like that. And I was like, and they were, she was talking about birth control with Nikki, and it was clear that she and Daniel Bryan didn't understand how it works. I have to go look this up and see if it's still online or if it got taken down. But I want to say that I put something after I recapped that conversation. I said, yes, this really happened. No, it's not a joke. Like, because people are so used to me being irreverent about it, I wanted to clarify, this time I'm not making fun of it. So that's my experience with Total Divas. And like I said, I thought about when I wasn't, because I was not getting paid much, but I was actually getting paid to watch this show, which is really not a bad gig. I mean, you watch bad TV or bad movies or whatever. The whole genre is built up around that now. But you want to get something for it. I couldn't go back to it. I think I finished that season out, and then I left that website. And when the next season came around, I might have thought about it for like 30 seconds. And I really have better things to do.
Well, can you put in a good word for me and Sign Guy with them?
With Total Divas?
No, with this website. We want to get paid to watch this garbage. We watch it for free.
Yeah. Well, the catch is you have to actually deal with the fans then. And you have to deal with
that.
People.
Oh, believe me.
No. There's a bigger catch than that. You have to be civil about it when you respond to it. Oh, I'm sorry. You take this show very seriously. I didn't realize, Pale Princess for Life, that this was so important to you and that I'm ruining your viewing experience as people talk about vegan condoms. I apologize. That is what you have to do to earn your $2 per hour.
What do you think, Sign Guy?
I don't think you would last.
It is a very, you know, I think people look at internet work. Some people are maybe wired for it or whatever, but for me, after a while, it was like to get emails like from the site owner saying, people complained the other night when you said this or that. What seriously, what do you want out of me for a couple of dollars here and there? It was just unpleasant because I think we all know as wrestling fans and people who are internet savvy that the so-called internet wrestling community is a very difficult place to exist in.
Oh, it's gross.
Even if you don't want to admit it, you're part of it. And
it's
just
garbage.
A very difficult existence.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gross. Oh, it's so gross. Sign Guy, what questions do you want to ask? You probably have a question or two.
Are you ever going to write about either of us again after this experience, or are you just going to try to forcibly remove us from your memory?
So far, so good. Like I told you, I really enjoyed the theme song, and it's been a good conversation so far. So I'm not having a bad time. I'm not getting paid $2 an hour for doing this interview, or am I? But so far, it's a decent enough way to spend my time. So.
And you
haven't
even heard
an interesting
theme
point.
Song
I did mention you guys in a column recently. And that has nothing to do with you inviting me on the show. So.
Oh, really?
Totally separate.
Well, what do you think? Should we move along? Should we hear, you know, you like that first song. Are you ready for Sign Guy to hit that music? Listen to this.
Oh,
Total Dialogue Time. That's the segment of the show where we take a scene from the episode of Total Divas we watch, we transcribe said scene, and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional charge.
Can I have a moment to respond to that song?
Absolutely.
Because if you told me earlier that you spent at least 5 hours on the intro, so I'm guessing based on that that you must have spent at least like 15 minutes on that other one. Is that right?
Listen, I am a grown man, and that's what I did with many nights of my life. Was that? I have a family. I have I have good jobs. I have friends, and I was sitting alone in a room making that.
You have a family and friends, but you were sitting alone in a room making that. Should we turn this into an intervention? Are you okay?
I'm not okay. I'm not okay. Oh, God, what have I done with my life? Oh, God. Dying guy.
Oh. I can't believe I'm the guest for the final episode of Total Dudes.
I wish, but I'm not that like. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to recreate a scene this evening. Sign guy shall be free mode Bella. I will be her sister Nikki Bella. And Mike shall be our good friend Kara. And scene.
Thank you for making time for us with the big event tomorrow.
No, no problem. I'm so happy you guys are here.
So, Bree and I are towards the ends of our careers. So she and I were on a flight one day, and we were like, what could we do? So we're going to get into the lingerie business. So we wanted to know, how you got started. She and I disagree on a few things. We butt heads a lot when it comes to sponsorships and endorsements. And then we decided to do this. I am very business sometimes.
Sometimes?
She's not.
I think that we could do a lot on our own. Make it almost Etsy style.
I can't sew. And I don't have time to sew. So where we disagree is...
You can only get so big. You can only get so big by doing it that way. You're never going to grow to scale if it's mom and pop. You obviously want to sell it, right?
Correct.
So then you want to think about what retail partners you want to have online or brick and mortar stores.
Seabree? I knew you were the right person to talk to.
Ha 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 ha. 4 exclamation points.
It's to inspire my sister. And scene. Sign guy, what was this?
This was a scene where Nikki decided she was going to prove her sister was dumb to people in the business world by taking her to executives and mocking her idea for making homemade lingerie that they would sell and then donate a pair of lingerie to needy children and young women. They get to this care abroad. And she takes a few minutes of her day to explain, yeah, you can't really just make it in your house in your spare time while you're downing gallons of wine. And Nikki's like, see, I told you, Bree. But she never said, by the way, you can't just have your family run it like you did the previous 3 businesses you tried to launch during the course of Total Divas. That was left unsaid, but Kara was thinking it, I'm sure.
I'm starting to be sorry that I missed this episode. It sounds pretty compelling. We should totally help them, though, because you could go to, a thrift store, and you could buy, lingerie, really cheap, and then just, sew, a Bella Twins label in there, and that brand name alone, you can get a markup of like 500%. You know, and like most online sellers, then you can also gouge for shipping and handling. So I think they went to the wrong business consultant.
Now, what I understand is that you want them to go to, let's say, a Goodwill, buy a bunch of soiled, dirty-ass underwear, and then sell it to weirdos online as if it were their own used underwear?
I didn't say most of what you just said. So if you want to send them that suggestion, then you're on your own. I just said...
Now, what
you
I
got your
bring
own,
up,
you
though.
Got your own thing going there. Wow, there's like a filter that, you know. Wow.
I'm going to sell used Bella underwear, so look it up. Usebellaunderwear.com. But what I want to bring up, though, this fucking thing is called Birdie Bee. In my hand right now, I am holding some lip balm. This lip balm is made of beeswax. The name of it is Burt's Bees. Enormous product line. It exists everywhere. Target, everywhere. Burt's Bees. And they want to call their product Birdie Bees. Why did no one tell them that was bad?
It's a really weird coincidence that you're holding that lip balm right now. As we talk
well,
about
I grabbed
this.
It out of the drawer. I'm
just for the show.
Well, I'm on the Periscope gimmick, too, and I wanted to show it off. There you go, Periscope people, Burt's Bees. But, yeah, and I have lots of Burt's Bees. Oh, I'm an aficionado of Burt's Bees. I got the pumpkin spice variety. I got the regular. Oh, yeah. But I was, come on, you guys. So, I don't know.
Well, they did explain the concept of the name to the last guy they talked to.
True.
And it was supposed to educate people because birds, EBs, is what people use to talk on sexual education. And so they thought that name would elicit that kind of response. But
that's terrible. it reminds me, though, of... what was it? Legend House. Okay. Here's the question that I have for you guys as being, you seem to be worldly and astute. So I'm kind of wondering,
absolutely.
I'm wondering about this. Okay. Did each of you watch Legend House?
Yes,
I did.
Do you remember the episode where the guys had to do commercials?
You mean like Flocko Flamingo?
That's
Flocko
the one.
Flamingo. Yeah.
Now I actually was really curious and went online after that show and wanted to see if these were like real businesses. And I couldn't tell because at least the Flocko Flamingos website that I found at the time, now maybe their business has really taken off, but it looked like really third rate and not professional and something that was almost done like for the show. So, I mean, is there a certain expectation even that what they're talking about here with this product line is kayfabe unto itself, that's not real and it's just a creation for the show? Or you think this is really going to be a thing?
No, nothing on the show is ever real.
Okay.
Never, ever. I don't think one thing's been real. Sign Guy, what do you think?
I don't think it's got much of a chance if they actually did plan to launch this, because Brie Bella was dead set. She was going to sew each and every pair herself. And she can't sew. She ended up making a pair of boxer shorts that would have struggled to fit Andre the Giant.
But was she in Brie mode at the time? Because
no.
Well,
she's
Brie mode,
never
it's
not
totally,
in Brie mode.
It's a totally different situation.
Yeah, but no, she was completely sober when she did this. As far as we know. It's very possible her and Nikki went out. Oh, my God. What is that?
I think that was an alarm on my phone. I'm sorry. I know you guys are a professional actor. And
oh, my God. That was horrifying.
Wow. I've got a lot of power in my hands. I've got to start using it wisely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so let's talk about it. I hate Brie Bella. It's very well known of listeners to the show. Anyone knows me, I hate Brie Bella.
She's the more pleasant of the Bella twins.
No. I refuse to accept this. I've been over this many times on this show. Nikki Bella has struggled her entire life with a sister that has been very negative and domineering on her. That's why Nikki has forced herself to do the things to herself she has, to get the those implants, to do these things, because her sister has constantly always told her she wasn't good enough, constantly told her she was stupid, and that's all that ever happens. Brie Bella is a very, very passively aggressive, narcissistic, awful person.
Am I gonna wake up to like an inbox full of nasty messages from Nikki Bella for life?
If you do, send them my way, and I'll tell them what's up.
Oh, I thought that.
Awesome, great.
Your screen name.
No. I support Nikki Bella, but it's just because of how much I dislike Brie. So what happens in this episode is we find out that Brie Bella likes to cuckold Daniel Bryan with her farts.
Wow.
She forces this grown man to get underneath the covers, completely uncaring about his mood and his feelings, and she just makes him smell her farts as he cowers in fear. That's what we learn. Sign guy, what did you think of that?
That was really weird.
Now I'm back to being sorry that I missed this episode. This has been a real roller coaster ride for me.
Well, we got a lot more to discuss, and you're gonna learn a lot about this episode secondhand, and it's really gonna I think you're gonna be shocked. I think you're gonna be awed, but I think in the end you're gonna be moved and touched. I don't know. So
okay.
Now Brie. They're trying to do this lingerie gimmick, the Burt's Bees, and Nikki's trying to talk with her about their goals, what they need to accomplish with their product, the things they need to do to prepare for it, and then Brie starts talking about this goddamn baby she wants to have. As they're talking business, and Brie just starts going on about a baby, and Nikki is just incredulous at this. Because she's trying to be professional. She's trying to get stuff done. She's trying to move units, She's trying to do the big deal. And then Bree's just talking about babies.
Yeah. I'm getting angry just hearing about it.
It's upsetting. So, Sangai, why don't you take us through the scene with the professional lingerie lady? I don't know what her job is. Take us through that scene, Sangai.
You mean where they were making it?
Oh yeah, guide us through this.
They get to this, I guess it was a developmental plant, and they were describing what they wanted to do, and Bree's like, yeah, I'm just going to sew it all myself, and I'll make all of it myself. And so this professional designer that has a degree in fashion design says, okay, go for it, and let's see what you have, and I'll kind of tweak things.
Mm-hmm.
And Brie had no idea how to sew. She pretended like she knew how to sew. It was clear she did not. She did not know what a pattern was. Had no pattern, but she had a little sketch on a stick figure. That's not a pattern. Not a pattern at all. And then Brie got angry because she's like, how dare you make fun of me for thinking my little stick figure sketch was a pattern when it's not. And the professional designer is just at a loss. So she's just taking over for Brie, kind of pushing Brie aside. She's like, let me just sew this. And Brie's like, no, I got it. I'm going to make all of the Birdie Bee lingerie for needly women and children. After people buy a pair, we'll break even on this thing. It'll be great. And she couldn't do it. It was a horrible attempt. And Nikki just mocked her the entire time she was trying to sew, which led to Brie not speaking to her sister once they got in the car.
Now, this, we've learned on a past episode that Bree's idea for Daniel Bryan post-wrestling was to work in the sweatshop she was going to create for him, making these products that she wanted. Sai, do you feel that her idea was to have Daniel Bryan, the Daniel Bryan sweatshop, making these panties?
Oh, I have no doubt that her plan was to include all of the Bellas. She would have the mother, she'd have the brother JJ, she'd have her sister-in-law Lauren and Daniel Bryan locked in a basement, ordering them to hurry up because they just received 800 more orders and they had to sew by dawn. Their fingers would be bleeding. The mother would be begging to come up for water, and Bree would be like, no, you finish those orders.
Sign guy. Mike's got a question.
Would John Laurinaitis be part of that operation also?
Absolutely. He'd be down there saying, Bree, can we have a little water? Maybe open the window? He'd be like, no, not until you sew that negligee that someone in Idaho ordered. He'd be like, oh, okay, thanks.
I'm still stuck on your terminology from earlier about this being a developmental facility for lingerie. So it's like the NXT of lingerie.
It was.
It really was. It's where people go and they say, here's our idea. And they either sew the product themselves, which is a horrible idea if you don't know how to sew, or they have a professional designer sew what the person is envisioning. And from there, they decide...
Like William Regal?
Yes. And then they decide, is this something that people would actually buy, or is it something that only the person that thought of the idea would want to buy?
It was an interesting segment, especially... I don't know if you watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but it reminded me a lot of the episode where they decide to start making their own dresses and they design their own stuff and it turns out very poorly. There's a sweatshop. It was all just ripped off from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Sounds like it.
I don't know. So Mike, you didn't see this episode, but how?
I feel like I did.
Yeah. Well, you're
I'm
going
exhausted.
We just started. In your brain, if you were to picture what Brie Bella would sew as lingerie, what do you see?
I mean, from what you're describing now, I picture maybe like an oven mitt with like a receipt attached to it. Like maybe with like a sock duct tape to the end of it.
That's exactly what she made. Perfect.
Okay. What body part was it supposed to cover, by the way?
It was supposed to be booty shorts. Is that correct, Sign Guy?
That's what she said, but it looked like a giant headband that would fit on the like big giant monster from Batman versus Superman.
Or like what Truth Martini might have. It looked like a Truth Martini thing.
It did, only if Chris Martini's head was 18 times larger.
Now, seriously, have you guys ever actually tried to sew? Have you ever actually tried to use a sewing machine?
In middle school when I had to take
sick. That's what I was going to say. I had a horrible experience in middle school. Yep. I got a D on the paper sewing activity, which was lines on a piece of paper, and you had to run them through a sewing machine without any thread in the needle. And I got a horrible grade on it. I was not used to getting bad grades at that time. I was absolutely crushed.
I did just as bad in shop, though. So.
Well, yeah.
I wasn't good with
it. Isn't that a terrible feeling when you're presented with, like, two ends of the spectrum, like opposite end of the spectrum, and you suck at both of them? It's like a real wake-up call. And you're, like, in seventh grade, and it's like, what is the rest of my life going to be like?
That's
you
why,
fast forward 30 years, and you're on a podcast.
You do podcasts, become a writer. I became a teacher. You know those who can't teach.
A shop,
right?
A shop teacher.
Yeah, I'm a shop teacher.
Shop teacher or home ec or
I
both.
I teach home ec now. Yeah, it's very difficult for me, but I just read the book and follow what it says. No, sign guy will tell you what I teach. What do I teach, brother?
Drinking.
Yep, drinking. I've got ice cold. Well, they're lukewarm Miller Lights at this point, but I'm chugging them. I am a professional.
I would like to point out that the inability to sew is why I go through Juggernaut Gear by Osiris for all of my wrestling gear needs.
Excellent. Excellent plug for a great man. Sign guy, take us through someone you didn't like. Who, Jay?
Number one on my list was Natty.
I knew.
Now, this episode,
Pause. Why, Mike, you said you haven't watched Total Divas in a while, correct?
Yeah, it's been, I think the last episode I watched was when they had the intervention with the Anvil.
Okay, well then I think Sign Guy needs to take you through some of Natty's recent hijinks. We like to do this. It always is fun. Sign Guy, go for it.
Some of the things that she's done since then, she had her sister move into her house thinking TJ just wouldn't notice that her sister now lives there. She tried to get out of a company drug test by wrecking her own car on purpose.
Now that one I saw.
You saw that episode?
Yep.
Oh, that's a legendary episode.
She also kissed Summer Rae full on the mouth, despite the fact that she said she hated Summer Rae. And she also spent $5,000 more than the estimate to fix the house because she thought TJ just wouldn't notice that they spent $5,000 more dollars than what she told them.
Oh, and she had bugs randomly flying out of her hair. And Sign Guy, you know what the last thing was. The house, brother. Tell us about it.
She ran into a house being fumigated to get a bowl for her cat to sleep in.
I think I saw that episode, too.
Natty is my favorite character on the show, but Sign Guy doesn't see it the same way, so keep that in mind, Sign Guy.
Well, this episode, we get the payoff from last week where Mandy invited 15 of her family members to go on Natty's family vacation because Natty just randomly invited them for no reason that she could even comprehend. She just blurted out, hey, why don't you bring your family? And then Mandy said, okay, I have 15 of them. And when they get there, Natty's so afraid of the Anvil doing weird things that she just constantly rides the Anvil, just yelling at him nonstop, making sure the Anvil doesn't enjoy a second of his day. And they go to do some sort of canoe racing, and Natty's just livid because Mandy's family easily won, and she can't comprehend how the Neidhartts could lose with Jim the Anvil, who just sat there, not paddling, and TJ, who's just had a near-death experience due to a broken neck, and she couldn't figure out how their team lost. So she's just livid.
This sounds like a really bad episode of the Steve Wilkos show.
Yeah, the stuff with the Neidhart family always is. It's excellent.
Well, and by bad, I mean, you know, like kind of the equivalent of a double negative. It's so bad, it's good. It sounds like, again, I mean, so far you guys have given me more reasons that I should be watching as opposed to reasons that I should not be watching.
Here comes another reason why you should. The very first time we see Jim the Anvil Neidhart on this episode, he's wearing a bikini, sexy bikini lady overshirt, but it's too small for him.
I hope he's drawing a paycheck for this. I mean, I hope that somebody could maybe get in touch with me and assure me that he's getting some money out of this gig.
Oh man!
Did you guys watch him, like, when I was a kid, like,
oh,
80,
yeah.
83, 84,
yeah.
Living in what was the Memphis territory. I lived in Lexington, Kentucky. We got Memphis TV. I also lived almost in West Virginia. So we got a lot of Memphis territory stuff. They would even come up through that area. But I mean, I remember when Anvil was on our TV every Saturday, and my brother and I just thought he was the coolest. And if
oh,
I'm not
yeah.
mistaken, I don't know if WWE keeps this as part of the kayfabe canon of his life, but as I recall, he's nicknamed the Anvil because he was like a champion anvil tosser. Have you guys ever heard that story?
Yeah, they used to bring that up a lot.
Yeah.
And
didn't he play for the Raiders for a short period too?
Yes, I believe the Raiders.
Yeah, he'd bring a Raiders helmet on to
Dallas.
I think I remember him bringing a Raiders helmet onto the Memphis wrestling set on more than one occasion. But I mean, I mean, this is pre Hart Foundation and WWF stuff. I mean, I watched him from a very young age. And in fact, to plug my own thing, that PWI article that I mentioned with Roderick Strong, you know, Strong talks about the fact that he had a really – it's a serious article. You know, there's nothing kind of lighthearted, kayfabe about
it.
I mean, he really just kind of said, this is the story of my life.
Right.
And what he told me was the turning point in his life was his dad took him – he was taking classes. His dad was taking classes from the Anvil, and Strong was about 12 years old and went and just was kind of messing around in the ring, and the Anvil said to his dad, you know, he could be really good at this if he stuck with it. And that was it. That was the moment that he kind of traces back and says, this is kind of what turned me around and got me focused on wrestling. And, you know, he said he hasn't seen Anvil in years. I asked him if he'd seen him on Total Divas.
Right.
Or if he knew about the intervention thing and how he felt about it. He wasn't up on all that. He just said, if it gets him help and it gets other people help by seeing what he's been through, I'm all for it. For me, I hope he's getting some money for doing this stuff.
Well, I know one thing about him. Unlike a lot of fellas on the show, Jim the Anvil Neidhart will not be cuckolded. So, on this episode, he gets furious because he says he's been looking all over for his wife Ellie, and then he finds her outside getting her ass rubbed by Norman Bates.
Wow.
And this is a man that will not be cuckolded. He was
I
not
think that none of that is to be taken literally either. None of that quote.
No, she was outside getting a massage, and the fellow was working out a kink in her lower back, you know, area. And then he was like, she's getting her ass rubbed by Norman Bates. Side guy, can you confirm that?
Yeah, Anvil just flipped out because the guy was massaging the poor woman. And then Natty's like, oh, well, maybe you can not have him work on that area, mommy. And she's like, nope. It's where it hurts, Nat.
There's a whole storyline in Pulp Fiction that's devoted to this.
Yes, it's a beat. Yes.
To this situation.
Yes, eat the pussy. Yeah, we know.
No. Foot rub. I'm talking about a foot rub.
I know. I'm
trying to keep this kind of above board here.
Oh, you don't have to hear everything. I take it way below. Fine guy will confirm that.
I would like to point out also that the outfit that Anvil was wearing that Rex referenced, there was once a full wrestling singlet made like that worn by Gregor Petrov that he actually competed in multiple times.
Really?
Yes.
That is some trivia there. That is commendable. How do you know that?
I was witness to him wearing said singlet, and I believe I refereed one of the matches where he wore that in Oregon.
Good story.
Impressive.
Moving on, let's talk about Mandy and her horrible goddamn family. I hate them. Her brothers wear these gross fedoras, and they have these man buns, and they just tromp around like a bunch of goons. And the whole gist of all this is that Mandy explains to us that her parents have split up recently, and her goal is to get them back together. So this grown adult, Mandy is probably in her 20s. I don't know how old she is. Thinks she's going to get her
25.
Thinks she's going to somehow get her other grown adult parents who've decided that they need to be apart from each other to enjoy life. She's going to make them get back together. And I'm like, come on. The mom gives a very even-handed, honest, listen, me and your father, we work better when we're apart. You know, I'll always love him, but I just really love the way it is. And then she's like, man, I got to get them together. So they ride in the car. They're sitting next to each other. She's like, I got my mom and dad to sit next to each other on their own. It's like, what do you think this is? The fucking bear trap? Grow the fuck up, Haley Mills. So, I don't know.
That's been the plot of, many a children's movie, hasn't it?
It is. Oh, yeah, the parent trap. That's the only one I can think of. There's probably others. They all star either Haley.
You know who did that recently? And this might be a strange thing. In interest of full disclosure, my wife actually likes this show. Zooey Deschanel show. What is it?
The New Girl.
The New Girl. And she did basically the same kind of thing. And they had to sit her down, and they're like, hey, you know, we're happy not being together kind of thing. So, and now Total Divas did it. So we're up to three.
Yeah.
I'm sure if it's a WWE product, then nobody did it better. So.
Oh yeah. Tiny guy, can you think of any 80s sitcoms that did it?
Not right
there
off
had
the top.
To be. There had to be. If it was done once in the 80s, it was done over and over again. That's the rule of sitcoms in the 80s.
Was that what I believe
did it once.
What one?
Silver Spoon.
I think you're right. I think you are right. That's a good call. I have a bizarre thing with Silver Spoons that I will literally go through almost every season of that at least once a year. I don't
really?
Know what causes that. Yeah, I don't know why. Because it should seem like something that I really shouldn't like, but I don't know. Maybe it's just good memories.
Wow. Silver Spoons, sign guy.
Aaron Gray was phenomenal in that series.
I couldn't participate in this conversation at all. I know Alfonso Ribeiro was on it.
You should you should cover that song and use it in a future episode. You'd be great at it.
Look at us, a couple of silver spoons. We're looking at each other. But we're back to back. I don't know.
You'd probably have to brush up on the lyrics a little bit to make it work.
I'd make up my own.
Or maybe not. Just make it your
Look
thing.
Look at me with my blonde haircut. I'm Ricky Schroeder. What is even going on? This is what happens. We get off track.
Yeah, but you could easily spin off this podcast and do something where you just review Silver Spoons episodes.
That sounds excellent.
We do kind of have a sub-show where we review tea called Total Tea with Song Guy and Rex. We're big on teas.
Well,
and
you
what
are.
What is the demographic on that one?
Well, we had my good friend Bruzy on the show. He is a wee gentleman from Wales who lives
in.
Yeah,
I was going to say, your demographic would probably be British people and folks in 12-step recovery.
I agree. I talk about beer. He talks about tea. I don't know. Do you have a tea you enjoy, Mike?
I like instant tea with lemon, but no sugar.
Oh, I think you just ruined sign guy's night.
You would have went with a nice oolong, perhaps.
Isn't that a whale dick? Is that what a whale dick is called? An oolong?
No, it's a type of tea.
What oolick? An oolick is a whale.
Thank goodness we got back on track, huh?
Yeah, we're back on track. Back to talking about animal dicks. Yeah, oh yeah. Sign guy, what else on the show? Is there anything else?
Not really. The one guy we haven't covered that I liked was this guy, Damon John. He had some sort of, I guess, talk show or game show where he helped people launch businesses. They went to him, and the main reason I liked it was because he said, when they told me what you two wanted to do, I said, oh, no. Because he knew it was a disaster. He's like, I just want to get the TV time, promote myself. So I'll take the meeting, let him film it, and then I will never talk to anyone involved again. That's what he did. He even had to sit there and pretend it was a great idea that for every one pair of underwear bought, they would donate one pair to a needy little girl or young woman. Because what little poor, suffering child wouldn't need a pair of lingerie?
No, here was my thought on that sign guy. They said they would donate one pair of underwear to a woman in need. So my thought was, let's say you're a lady out on a date with some new fella. It's your first date. You threw on your new Birdie Bees because you want to look your best, right? And in the middle of the date, you just shit those. You just shit them up real good. And you rush the bathroom, and you don't know what to do. But since you bought them, guess what? Brie Bella is a touch away on an app on her phone or something. She shows up with a brand new pair of the Birdie Bees for you to put on. She grabs the shitty ones. She takes them away. You throw on these new ones, and then you're good. You can shit them up again later when you get home, but you're good on your date. That's the needy woman that they are helping.
I bet it's really Laurinaitis that shows up.
The people power. I don't know what we're doing here. Now, what have I done? I actually thought about that for a good 5 minutes, thinking that part up. That was one of my good jokes for the night.
You should have heard the 87 that he deemed not good, Mike.
The ones that were deemed not good, oh. There was a lot more poop in them. Now, there was one kid that I enjoyed on the show. A random kid running around the beach. I don't know. Probably an orphan. Probably raised by dolphins. We don't know who this kid was. He was just there when the Neidhart family was trying to get pictures, enjoy the end of their vacation. And there's this random kid there. And they're like, that's a cute kid. And Neidhart's like, ah, they're the cutest kids. Random sea orphan. And his name was Rocky, which I think is the perfect name for a sea orphan. And Rocky tells us the most poignant view on life I've heard in a while. Old Rocky, the sea orphan, says, life is about mostly having fun. And I couldn't agree more, random sea orphan no one has ever loved.
Actually, I was one of the kids that they took to the vacation. He was in the house with them earlier.
Oh, I thought he was a sea orphan. Who the hell's Rocky? Who's Rocky, sign guy?
We know he's not one of the grandchildren that had their handprints emblazoned on Anvil's sweater because they have no grandchildren. So I'm guessing he's one of the Hart grandchildren, like Smith or Ross or Wayne Hart. Grandkids.
So it's not just some random you were from the, like, rode up on, like,
You're so disappointed that it's not an orphan.
I thought you rode a narwhal
I've never heard someone be so disappointed that a child had a happy life.
Well, we don't know that he had a happy life. We just know he's not a sea orphan now.
That's the spirit. Keep the dream alive.
Yeah,
maybe the kid was miserable.
Think about Mowgli in the Jungle Book. He had a pretty great life, even though he was an orphan, you know, raised by, you know, animals that talk.
Maybe a
dirty old sea. He wouldn't be that dirty because he'd be flopping around in, you know, salt water all the time. And he would swim like Aquaman. He would have the leg power of a dolphin. He would have the
You're really deep. I mean, you really give a lot of thought to these things. That is that's something. This is our first ever conversation, and I'm impressed.
I thought about Rocky a lot, but now I'm disappointed that he was just some kid.
Freaking happy kids.
They're gross. There's nothing worse than the laughter of children. That's true. Like, I have children. I love them. But they all start having fun and laughing. You're just like, ooh.
Here we go again.
Oh, they're laughing. And it's so loud. They're just giggling, and it's two girls, and then they have their little neighbor friend, and they'll all start just, and it's like, man.
I can see how that would upset you.
One of these days, to the moon. I don't know. Same guy, anything else about this show?
There was one scene that was connected to absolutely nothing else shown at all the entire episode. Backstage, Rosa, whom established she could not travel due to her pregnancy, had flown all the way to Evansville, Indiana, to just hang out backstage. Paige and Foxy were there. Foxy was upset that her mother wanted to visit because she thought she would just never leave. And then Paige took off in a dead sprint, dove to the ground, and she's devouring what she described as a grilled cheese pizza, which she loved.
I forgot about that. That was the very first scene.
It was,
I'm
and then they just never went back to any
show.
Of them. It was the only time any of the three were shown. I thought we'd get Foxy and her mother, but no.
Well, Mike, Rosa's been one of the central focus, mostly because she's pregnant.
I thought she wasn't long for the show. I'm happy for her that she's still on the show.
There was this whole storyline about how her parents, they were worried because her baby daddy, they were like, he's just an atheist. And so they were worried about this. So I went online to look up.
Yeah, instead, we'd rather that it was Michael Hayes.
No. Just wait. I went online to look up this fella. I was like, what's the deal with this guy? He owns this company called Black Craft Cult, which makes T-shirts that all have fucking, like, pentagrams. They have, like, a church, like, on fire. They have, like it says, like, Satan is my spirit animal. And it's like, devil dog butt play. And that's what he makes.
It just doesn't sound like an atheist to me. Yeah,
and then they're like, oh, man, we're worried that mom's going to learn. I'm like, does she not fucking look at the internet like anyone ever? I did it in a split second, and I've never met the guy. You think maybe your mom, the mother of the person who was impregnated by this guy, is not going to go on Google him and see what comes up like, I don't know, a year ago? Because this guy... quite clearly, not really into Christianity.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a show. That's what
I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to. I mean, Rosa's. She's been through a lot.
Oh yeah. I like Rosa when she's not in a wrestling ring, or anywhere near one. So, I support her. I encourage her to find happiness far, far away from the wrestling business. You know, model the shirts of, you know, it says like, all I do is eat pizza and worship the devil. You know, shirts like that. They're pretty cool. I don't know. So, anything else, Sun Guy? I think that's about it.
I think we hit on all the major topics. There weren't a whole lot of stories this episode.
No, there was just a lot of stuff. So, Mike, why don't you plug all your stuff again, just in case anyone is still listening?
Somebody must have stuck it through to the end. I don't know. I'm going to tell people to check the show out. I'll tell you that. Okay. Let me think. Which outlets that I write for would still want to be associated with this program at the end of it? So I write for Pro Wrestling Illustrated. New issue is available on the website, and it's on newsstands also. BreakingWrestlingNews.com, which is a site that I started with a few other writers. You should check that out, and we're going to be making some major changes to that site soon. Now that we've been around for a few months, we're going to change a few things around and kind of play to our strengths, because it seems to be going pretty well. We've got a nice following there.
Nice.
And Inquisitor.com. Every once in a while I write about wrestling for there, but write about news, politics, whatever makes me money, in all honesty. If I have to write about Kim Kardashian, I will. I'm not about that.
What do you think about this Donald Trump guy? You heard of him?
I think I have. And what I can say is, now I don't know if you want me to be silly or serious, so I will keep it more on the silly side. I will say that irrespective of what I think about him, which is mostly bad things, I can't deny the fact that I've made a fair amount of money writing about the guy, because people want to read about the ridiculous thing. I mean, think about it again. If you have a group of people who take Total Divas seriously, then you're going to have a group of people who really, really, really want to read about Donald Trump.
Real goddamn dummies. That's what you mean. Yeah. So, what do you think about this guy that was groping at the little 15-year-old's boobies and then Masoner? What do you think about all this business?
You know, I just saw something about that today, and I will – now, since you guys are asking – I will say, I should lead with this. Now, I'm talking about this as myself and not a representative of any of the places that I just rattled off.
Yeah.
You know, I've been to some political demonstrations like that. I have a daughter myself that's about that age who is very smart and politically astute, and I've taken her with me because she wants to go. That's pretty horrible. I will say that the political climate right now that we have, people are absolutely incensed just to see somebody there saying something different. I've been on the receiving end of just, you know, all kinds of ridiculousness. And I think I'm ostensibly exercising the very constitutional rights that people are saying we don't have.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's a really weird time, and I think I'm 43. I don't know how old you guys are. I talk to people a lot older than me and say, do you remember a time that was ever quite like this? Everybody says, nope. So it's, you know, every time I think I know what I feel about this, something else happens and it gets even weirder. So I mean? I don't mean to oversimplify it, but I don't know of a more eloquent way to put it. Now, if you have me back on here as Mike Bessler, Joe Citizen one day, then maybe I'll just really get going and tell you what I think about a lot of things.
Yeah.
But, because one of the websites I write for it's about news aggregating, and you basically draw from what's being talked about right now. Donald Trump is one of the most talked about subjects in the world.
Of course.
So you see this stuff come over news reports day after day that,
Well,
I don't want to write about this again, but I guess I will. Because
it's the same shit basically over and over again. It doesn't necessarily change. Oh, the Donald Trump supporters are being horrible again. Let's write a different way today.
But at the same time, there are people who are okay with it, who haven't really noticed the trend or don't really care about the trend. So I guess you got to keep talking about it, right?
I don't shut up about it. That's what I mean. And I don't, I'm not worried about being an asshole. So, Sign Guy's a big supporter of Donald Trump. Right,
Trump
Sign Guy?
Sure, WWE Hall of Fame 2016.
Well, you gotta know that Vince McMahon is loving the idea of potentially having the President of the United States in the WWE Hall of Fame. This is like a freaking cash cow dream
Absolutely.
Come true for him. So, I think, you know, the last few elections, if I'm not mistaken, the presidential candidates end up doing some kind of horrible Monday Night Raw segment. I remember, what was the last one where it was down to Romney, Clinton, and no. This was the first one. So it was McCain, Clinton, and Obama. Is that right? And they all did spots on Monday Night Raw. It was terrible. Like,
if
I think everybody got booed.
Oh yeah, that
they did a show in like Arizona where McCain was a sitting senator, and I think his very image on the Tron got booed by the people there. So there's a lot about the state of politics in the country, but we'll see this race end up. Because what was it the one year that somebody wouldn't, or was that they've done this a couple times. They had a Trump and O'Donnell kind of ringer match where they had, you know, impersonators come in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there was the one year where they had
Trump.
They had like a Hillary Clinton and an Obama lookalike on there or something like that. So they'll find some way to work this in and it'll be awful.
Mm.
I know that sounds really pessimistic, but it usually is when they try to mix this stuff.
Most things they do are awful, so it's no huge shocker. But all right, I'll stop with the political stuff. I don't think that's what Sign Guy likes. Sign Guy, what do you think?
I think Vince McMahon is loving this, and I agree with Mike. Barack Obama's, if you smell what Barack is cooking, was horrible.
Yeah, that was
cringe.
Not good. But I think, I don't know, I mean, I have no information to base this on, but you got to think that they've reached out to the Trump camp a couple times. And
oh, absolutely.
I don't remember Trump's last appearance on Monday Night Raw, because I think, in my opinion, I really liked, before this election cycle especially, I really liked the Battle of the Billionaires angle. And the match itself. But other than that, and I will say this without a hint of exaggeration, I honestly believe that every other appearance Donald Trump has ever done for WWE has been awful. Including the one, remember the one that they got in trouble with the SEC because he went on and said, maybe I'll just buy WWE for myself.
Yep.
And then
the shareholders went, oh yeah.
Yeah.
But at least out of all of it, if nothing else happens, we have a GIF of Stone Cold giving a stunner to Donald Trump forever.
Yeah, as much as I hate to give Donald Trump credit for anything these days, he took that where I think a lot of people, what was it, the guy that did the wrestler, remember how his insurance company said, no, you're not gonna take any bumps at WrestleMania. But here you got Trump, who was considerably older, taking a stunner. So that I still go back, and well, more often than ever these days, I go back and watch that and go, yeah, that was a good spot.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up here. We bummed ourselves out very sufficiently. So, Mike, it was a pleasure to have you. And, again, go check out, you know, everyone knows PWI. So, I mean, it's not like we have to say, go track it down. They know. Everyone knows.
Been around since 1979. And I got to say, I said this before. You know, as a kid that used to sit on the floor of the county market in Lexington, Kentucky, and read those magazines at the magazine section there, it's really amazing sometimes to realize that I write for them now.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll definitely have you back when you can watch the show.
now I feel like I have to, just in case you guys ask.
What have we done to this poor man, Rex?
We do it to everyone. Everyone ends up liking the show. I don't know how, but all right. Well, Mike, thank you again. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Take care.
You take care, brother. I want to give a shout out to the little Periscope gimmick here. There's been these geeks the drummer and the fox or something. They've been watching this for like 30 minutes straight. All they hear is just me talking, so it's like my dream come true. But I don't know how they can handle it. So good on you, Periscopers. If anyone listening wants to Periscope it, you know, go find – it's periscope.tv/Razor Ramon. I'll do this for, like, Razor Ramon shows. I do it while I'm playing UFC on the Xbox. I do it while I'm doing the Super Podcast. So, I don't know. It's a thing.
But you're not going to show it when you fight Davey Richards because he didn't have the 30 seconds to spare.
Yeah, Davey Richards is a fucking scared little bitch. That's what we learned, right?
He said he didn't have the time.
He backed down. Davey Richards, you showed yourself for what you are. You backed down. It's because I'm at least 4 feet taller than you, you little Oompa Loompa bitch. So beat it. You're done. You lost. Out of here. And sign guy, you can confirm that. He was scared. He was intimidated. I would be, if I was David Richards, I'd be scared too, because I can reach the top shelf in my cabinet without having to get a ladder out, brother.
Do you use one of those little kiddie stools, though?
No, I don't need to. I'm a grown adult man, unlike Davy Richards. Boom. He just had a baby. It's a cute little baby. And it's already bigger than he is. There was a great joke made by our friend Beast. He saw the picture of Davy Richards and his baby, and he said, "Aw, that's a cute little fellow. Look at how little he is. And the baby's cute, too." Ba-dum, boom. So, I don't know. Sign guy, what do you got going on?
Well, Friday on Sign Guy's Wrestling Show, first time in many, 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 many moons, Lila Lodge will be returning to the program.
Oh, so does that mean that Stomp and Steve will be listening?
Yes. And I believe QT might up the odd question level to master level.
I think you should ask her only questions about Stomp and Steve. I think that would be the best.
I don't know if she'd take part in that. I think she just quit the interview after a couple of minutes. And QT's already made one broad quit the wrestling business this year.
Hmm.
It's a real thing. He really did. Talked her
good
right out
him.
Of the business.
What else you got going on?
Well, on Saturday, I think I'll watch the Hall of Fame inductions, and hopefully I will spot Alicia Ayers like I did last year. I spotted her. I said, "There's Lish." And so I got a hold of her. I said, "I see you on the TV." And she waved her hand in front of her face and said that I could not see her, but I did. I did.
Yeah.
And then Sunday on Turnbuckle Turmoil, we have someone from your neck of the woods, J.C. Rotten.
Oh, no. I remember that motherfucker. I used to go to all the IWA Mid-South shows back, you know, in the early 2003, 2004, 2005. He was a tiny little boy, right? And he would just go around beating the shit out of all of us. And we couldn't do anything because it was Ian's kid, you know? And he would just come up to you and he'd, like, kick you, try to fucking DDT you, like, jump on your back, try to throw on sleeper holds. He was a little asshole. It was hilarious. We would watch him. We'd laugh. He'd be beating up someone else, and we'd be laughing. And we'd be like, "Oh shit, he's coming this way. Oh god damn it!" So maybe ask him about those days.
All right. Yeah. And then
ask
from
him,
there.
No wait. And ask him how he feels about working in Madison, Indiana, with Roger Blade. I think that's something important.
Okay, I could ask him that. Then. Yeah, probably watch the WrestleMania, I guess.
Are you going to watch WrestleMania? Okay.
I think I will. Now, a lot of times in recent years, Jason Ayers has been on there. It's been a highlight.
You know what? He's going to be on there again. I hope I'm not spoiling anything, but I might have had it confirmed by him that he's going to be on there.
Oh, all right. Now, last year, when the WrestleMania magazine came out, he was heavily featured in a couple of photos.
Yeah.
One of them, he was on the floor for the Battle Royal refereeing there, and there was like this light that just surrounded him.
Hmm.
It was just like this spotlight right on him. I said, how does he do that?
He is Jason Ayers.
And then on the back cover, there he is just walking down the hall with Hulk Hogan.
Well, that's what you got going on. Let's see. Today is Wednesday. Tomorrow? What's tomorrow? Thursday? What's going on Thursday, WWE-wise? Is there something?
I don't believe they have anything tomorrow. No. They might have a few access things going on. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Friday night's takeover, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Friday night's takeover, so I'll be watching that. Saturday's Hall of Fame. I'll watch that. Sunday is the show. We're having a big old party here. It's going to get weird.
Is that because people are going to be searching for your house all up and down the street, and you're going to be hiding in the bushes saying, tee-hee-hee-hee, tee-hee-hee-hee,
no,
and no
you
one
know,
will see WrestleMania because they can't find your house?
You know who I believe is going to make their first appearance here in over maybe 2 years?
Whoa, let me guess.
Brad Layman.
Hey, I've not guessed yet. Hold on.
Brad Layman.
Hey, I'm not guessed yet. Wait.
Okay, guess.
I'm going to guess Dude Kind.
You know what? There's always the possibility Powerhouse Rodney James may show up.
Aha.
There's always a possibility. He's been invited. I was just talking to him earlier. It's always a possibility. There's a possibility Chris Morris may show up. We may have a lot of Hoosier wrestling alumni here. But regardless, we'll be doing that. Razor Ramones, we just booked a bunch of shows. We're getting ready to do some recordings. A lot going on there, so check that out. Periscope, see you later. Till next time, you know. Enjoy some wrestling this week. It's the week we should all celebrate it. I've been wearing a wrestling shirt for, how many days has this been? What's today? 30? 30 days. So, enjoy some wrestling.
Not the same one.
No, it's not been the same one. Enjoy some wrestling this week. Whatever it is, WWE, Evolve, those Evolve shows look unbelievable. You know, enjoy anything. Just enjoy wrestling this week. And then listen to Total Divas with Sign Guy and Rex. Peace
Total
out,
Dudes.
Nerds.
The name of the show is Total Dudes.
What'd I say?
Total Divas with Guy and Rex.
I got a piss so bad, I wasn't thinking. All right, Total Dudes.
That would be
with
a great name for a punk rock band.
What?
What you just said.
What did I say?
I got a piss so bad, I wasn't even thinking.
Oh, that is the name of my punk band.
No, it's not. The name of your punk band is the Razor Ramones.
Oh, that's right. All right, till next time. I'm Total Dudes. I got Rex. I gotta go piss. Bye. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time.
the DJ.